This podcast is rated E for explicit. In our previous episode, our conversation about our friendships got a little bit lengthy. But in this episode, we're back to assess if those friendships were a little bit filthy.
You're saying this is a friendship, but the only person doing the work is you.
Yeah, some felt a little bit lonely. And if you're gonna tell me about my feelings, make sure you know me.
When you're trying to tell me about my feelings, that's where I have to stop you, sweetie.
And when it comes to my time, please don't be greedy.
What does it feel like, I guess, to have a friend that is not only needy, but possessive at the same time?
I don't get possessed, bitch.
Okay. Oh. Well, guess what?
They'll test you to see how committed you are to your own boundaries.
And, once more, what is your friendship credit score?
Is it 400?
Okay.
You know, listen, if it's under 6, we may need to do some things to help you improve your credit.
You met me in the midst of many things. Shedding skin, sprout wings. Looking at life as a spiritual being through a human lens. Having conversations with God about so many things. This show is your invitation. The poet God is the conversation. Nothing will have us singing the blues more than the relationships we were born into and the ones we choose. But as we grow, as we become more evolved in the things we know, and as we use that knowledge to help us sow the seeds of healthier relationships in our gardens of woe, healthier experiences will meet us where we go. So as long as we've done the work to make it so, they will meet us in the flow. And they will teach us what they know. And we will sing new songs about what we've now been empowered to choose. New songs beyond the blues. You can't argue with the way somebody feels.
True.
Right? The way they are experiencing. Although some people,
try to do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And tell you about your experience. That's called gaslighting.
Ooh, come on. Come on, narcissist. Preach. Preach.
See, because when you're trying to tell me about my feelings, that's where I have to stop you, sweetie. Like, you can't tell me how I feel. Like, how are you about to do that? But you're right. You're right. And I'm like, listen,
it's funny. It's what I just think, this line that was used against me. Well, you make it seem like, no, I'm not making it seem like anything. This is what I'm saying
right
to you. You are making it seem like something else because you're not listening to what I'm saying.
Oh, God.
So that whole expression of feelings and people trying to change them to something that benefits them. Mm. So that what that reminded me of is a recent friend breakup. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I'm still going through it at the moment. Mm-hmm. Where the person is very needy. Right?
Come on.
So what happens is that no matter how hard I try to create distance, their neediness is stronger, right? Whoa. So say, for instance, you don't answer a call. Well, you get three more the next day.
Oops.
Right? Those types of things. And whereas, you know, I've been trying to handle it in a point where, like, I know that I have this savior complex, trying to make everybody's life wonderful, trying mm-hmm. to treat everybody well. I know you're going through some hard times. Let me be there for you. But I'm tired. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue that I have is how do you do that, even though you still care? Right. But you're not enjoying the relationship anymore. And the relationship has only become work for you.
Yeah. Right?
How do you break up with somebody in that case?
So how is that fair to you? And I guess, that's my mirror looking right. at me. Well,
that's a question still.
Yeah. Right? How is that fair to you if you're saying this is a friendship, but the only person doing the work is you?
So keep in mind, though, just like I mentioned before, mm-hmm. there's the needy side. There's somebody who's – they don't see it that way because they don't even see themselves as being needy.
Mm. I'll be devil's advocate. So were you needy at one point, too, that you had been a friendship for them, and then your growth is different now that you're not as needy, that it kind of is different now?
So I would say that in this particular case, no. I'm not going to count that out for other relationships because I do believe that's happened. In this case, this is one where I think I should have known day one and not 14 years later.
Oops.
So, yes, there's that.
Well, that brings up a great point. And you and I were talking about this before we came on air. But so in terms of the friendships that, you know, we've shared, we have or similar people that we have. What does it feel like, I guess, to have a friend that is not only needy, but possessive at the same time?
Wow, that's sure. good, because that's this situation as well. So, you know, we were talking about the fact
that I don't get possessed, bitch.
Oh, right.
Well, guess what? There are people who have
spirits.
Who, when you hang out with them, you're theirs.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that is even harder to deal with because you want to create spaces where you're in a group setting. You're in an open setting, you know, not just a group. And they still tend to want it to be just you two.
But, you know, the other flip side to that possession thing is that some people do want to be possessed. They feel it's loving. They receive until it's not. But initially they're like, oh, my God, you love me. You want to hang out with me all the time. Oh, my God. I feel so sought after. You know, like it's.
I would be trying to cancel that one as well.
Oh,
but look, and so like to your point about the whole cancel thing, there is. I've gone through a process with this. You know, what is it that I can do? What is it that I can change? You know, in terms of like how I interact with this person, and I'm at the point now where there is nothing else I can do
because it's not about you.
Exactly.
Akil made that comment yesterday when we were having a conversation. A lot of times when our friends are abusive, they act out and so on and so forth. A lot of that energy is not about us. It's about them. And we're only the objects of said acting out.
Yep. Or we then decide to change our boundaries or get some healthy boundaries in the relationship. And people are responding, reacting to the fact that we have new boundaries with them. Shout. Why don't you let me do this anymore?
Oops. Exactly.
Ooh, I want to shout.
Oh, my God. That's such a good point. These new boundaries, people, they rebel against them. They're bad. Yep.
And they'll test you to see how committed you are to your own boundaries.
Right. Ooh, what is that about?
Well, you let people cross your boundaries and you're not honoring your own. Like, people may feel or friends may feel like or not take your boundaries seriously. And until you honor your own boundaries and commit to them and stick to them, which then sends the message that if I'm honoring my boundaries, I'm expecting other people to honor my boundaries, too.
But when we were friends, there were no lines drawn. And now you decided to draw lines now.
You
didn't tell me. You didn't tell me.
Yeah.
What did you say earlier? Oh, now you better than me? but no, those are true. I mean, these are all really good examples of real life situations that people go through. And probably not too uniquely. I mean, I think that we all probably have had at least one friendship that went sour. And we probably stayed in it for about 14 years too long.
Damn. Damn, that's that is not an arbitrary number, oops. Calvin.
Said twice.
Yes.
Right. And read.
That's not a random number.
Right.
Right. But you know, you see what I'm saying is that sometimes we do let things, you know, last longer than our expiration date, like Nick said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we just gain a new level of awareness. This person may have been crossing your boundaries this whole time, mm-hmm. and you just weren't aware of it because you, for whatever reason, didn't acknowledge or honor your own boundaries. But as you do the work on yourself and you start to discover where boundaries need to be for you in order to be healthy in a relationship and it not be toxic for you to then enforce or for you to stick to commit to those boundaries, like literally could change the nature of the relationship altogether. And it would take, in order to remain in friendship with that person, they have to accept the new boundaries and respect those. If they cannot do that, then that's a reason to potentially break up with a friend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So again, I know I keep referencing our conversation yesterday, but I have to. Mm-hmm. So there comes a point of enlightenment, to your point, Nick. There comes a point of enlightenment, and there comes a point where you also start to surround yourself with people who are like-minded, i.e., us.
Hey, for us.
Yeah. And then, so when you get to that point, you're like, shit, I used to be treated like this, and now I'm like, bitch, I used to drive a Ford Tempo long time ago. And now I'm in a fucking Mercedes, and this is how it feels like to be in a Mercedes crowd or crew.
Mm-hmm.
That shit is priceless. Just saying.
Oh, is that us? Are we Mercedes?
Even though the German's cars, oops. But it's okay. Go ahead. It's okay. Ooh. It's fine.
Boom. Child is xenophobia.
No, I mean, I 100% agree with you, but I probably wouldn't put such a big value judgment on it.
Because personally, I prefer Porsche, but go ahead.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, another German.
Right.
Okay. No, but yeah, I think that what I would say, though, is that you are now probably in a place where your needs are being better met.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. As opposed to it being better friends, you're just now in a better position to get your needs met. Right.
Aaron, I'm so glad you feel loved. I'm so glad that we're providing a loving space for you.
Let's see. Yeah. Can we do something about that?
I was going to say, but also I think that contributes to you being able to discern the relationships that are not right for you.
Absolutely.
Like you were saying, you have relationships where you do feel free, where you feel safe, where you feel heard, you feel seen, mm-hmm. and it contributes to your well-being, and it doesn't feel forced. It feels reciprocal, it feels healthy, and so then to step back into relationships where none of those things are present, right. Like, I'm mm-hmm. not finna do that. With what? I'd rather devote my energy to the relationships that feel mutual, feel reciprocal, and feel like they're not just taking from me. Like, they also fill me up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to that point, like, you know, I've said this about Gary for years, that he was one of the first friends that allowed me to be in a space of unconditional love where I could then begin to learn to love myself better. So that is one of the best gifts that your friends, that good, healthy relationships give you, is a space and a mirror to say, hey, you are worth this. You are worthy of this kind of experience. And if you have not learned to give that to yourself, then this is a space for you to start to do that, for you to start to learn to love yourself better. And I'm going to support you in doing that and going and growing towards a healthier place with yourself.
Something that you said, Akil, probably like 10 minutes or so ago. How have we been, I guess, better friends? Or how have we been good friends? Have we actually always embodied the spirit of being a good friend? Or what that's supposed to look like?
Well, I think you bring to... Well, like I said earlier, in terms of the friendships being an extension of a relationship with yourself, the love is only as good as the lover.
Come on. Come on, Tony.
Tony, huh?
You know I love that line. Because it applies to so many things, though, right?
That's true.
Like, so whatever you bring to the friendship with others is also what how you're dealing, a reflection of how you're dealing with yourself. As that gets better, the relationships get better. They have to, right? Because you can't keep a good thing to yourself, you're going to naturally share it, and other people are going to experience it, and they're going to reflect it, and they're going to be inspired to bring the best of themselves mm-hmm. to you and share. And you know, so it's one wonderful thing happening with another. And it's not that we're all so perfect. That's not right. it. But our experience with each other, we want to be the best. We want to True. Bring the best mm-hmm. of ourselves, right?
Said differently, I think about it, and Layla Delia talks about it this way too, about mm-hmm. your vibration and your frequency mm-hmm. and your relationships being a reflection of that. You are connecting with people who are on a similar vibration or frequency. And as your frequency gets higher, some relationships mismatch mm-hmm.
yeah,
and so
yeah.
you want to connect with or people that have a similar vibe to you. We talk about vibes all the time.
Yes.
Good energy, right?
Yes.
But you feel that energy, you discern that, and so your people are those who are vibrating on a similar wavelength as you.
Absolutely. You know what's amazing to me, and this is to that point about energy, I was at the supermarket the other day and looking for milk while everybody was buying the toilet paper up for whatever reason. And this lady walked up to me and she just started a conversation, and the energy that she came with was so positive and so, you know, she was like, I'm not even stressed. I'm just here to get food for my kids Amen. While they're home for the week. And I'm just trying to find some soy milk. And she was like, I'm guessing you're looking for that too. And so we just started this conversation. But her, although we were talking about soy milk, her energy is the conversation. That's the, you know, the conversation that was being had. She was so bright. She was so positive. Mm-hmm. She was so unbothered, you know, really, by all of this stuff. And I was thinking to myself, like, wow, she felt so comfortable to come up and just start up this conversation as if we were friends, right? That's right. how she approached me, right?
Right.
And I was like, there has to really, really be something to that. Mm-hmm. Because you could do that to somebody, they could be a total asshole. You're like, oops, sorry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Didn't mean to disturb mm-hmm. you, you know? But I'm glad that she was right and that we were able to just naturally have this organic, you know, experience about, you know, soy milk. Mm-hmm. But I think that same thing happens with friends, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, what if our vibe shifting or us not being on the same wavelength does not necessarily make me better or you worse yes. of a person? Yes. What if it's just that we're not on the same wavelength mm-hmm. and there's no judgment there? There's still love, but I need to find my tribe that is connected on the same wavelength, and I'm going to release you to do the same.
Oops. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's yes.
Because you deserve that as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. I actually said that to an ex once. I was like, why are you sitting here dealing with me and us fighting? Just go find a new crew and leave me alone.
Oops.
Right? And it wasn't meant. No, it wasn't. It was. I know it sounded more negative, but it was one of those moments where 5 years after we broke up, he's still trying to be friends with me. And I'm like, every time we have this conversation, it is not a positive conversation for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let this go.
Just,
you know, it's time. Go ahead and move on. Right? You know, you can do this. Right?
Yes, like this friendship is no longer providing an opportunity for growth.
Mm.
So it's best that you go find an area where you can grow. Right.
And so, but I want to say it a little bit different. It wasn't about the opportunity for growth. It was the
that
fact
was
that
this
whole, I know it was a read. this whole friendship is only serving to keep you down.
Uh-huh.
It is just holding you back.
If you don't preach, both of you,
move on. But what I was going to say earlier, because Nick made some great points about being on the same wavelength. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that is discounted is being on the same wavelength with people who can only help to push you higher. Right?
Yes.
You're not spending any energy holding somebody back, and you're saying, "Oh, that's where you want to go? Okay, well, let me be a little wind under your wings and push you on a little way, because it's not hurting me to do it."
Right.
It's only empowering me to be a part of that. Right.
Something that I just got out of that is that it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It is free. So why are you stressing out and being upset and all of that if it's so free? It's like the gift of love.
Well, because you're probably their security blanket, and they can't afford to let you be so free.
Really? I know.
Or you're the one in the group that we were able to control now, and then you're trying to not be controlled anymore?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there are people like that who really, you know, some of the people they're around, that is how they survive. is that other person being available, always pick me up here, take me there, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Mm. That is a narcissistic relationship, sadly. Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about serving the other person.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I think that one thing that we didn't talk about is just how we define friendships, right? And we've kind of touched on all different types of quote unquote friendships, right? Mm-hmm. You know, different levels, different approaches from different people. And I think that is one of the things that makes this conversation, you know, this topic a little bit hard of how to break up with a friend, is that you kind of have to define what kind of friendship you have and whether or not you care about that person enough to either just cut it off cold turkey or do a mm-hmm. slow turn towards something that's going to keep you both moving forward.
So I remember being invited to somebody's birthday party, and when I received the invitation to the birthday party, I mean, I did consider the person a friend. We weren't close friends, but you know, we had hung out several times before, so we were friendly. Anyway, invited to the birthday party, got to the location of where the birthday party was going to be, and they didn't show up. We were there waiting for almost 2 hours.
Is it Lauren Hill? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. My bad. I'm sorry.
It all be so simple.
And they didn't show up, and I just thought to myself, this is so disrespectful. You know, so disrespectful in terms of my time, right? I waited. You didn't even show up within the... I said, you know what? Don't invite me to another fucking thing that you got going on. Like, I am good. Okay. But their response to what I had to say, because I had called them out on that and some other things in reference to their ideas of surrounding friendship, and they were like, well, I don't know what's wrong with you, because you know, sometimes I don't talk to some of my friends for months, and then when I pick back up with them, they're good. And I was like, see, that's fine. If that works for you and them, that's good. I don't have any judgments for that. However, my philosophy on that is you can't come back and expect to meet warm what you left cold. And on that note, we'll be right back after these messages. My intention for this podcast is for it to be an enlightening experience of love. And from what I hear, that intention is being met loud and clear.
This was amazing. I wish every high school senior who's graduating can hear this, and every college graduate can hear this. This is super, super special, and I enjoyed it 100%.
I like where you are coming from, using the word God to communicate to people, because so many people have so many different ideals of God. You seem to be on a higher spiritual plane because you seem to have a personal connection, which is a great thing. We're all God's children, but some of us just do devilish things. I think what we're going through at these times right now with this coronavirus is teaching us we all need each other.
Indeed, we do. And it is with the support of people like you, I will continue to answer the call to share what God has given me, because this is a gift I believe the world is meant to hear and see. We're talking to each other 2-3 times a week. That's cool. I don't hear from you for 6 weeks. And I'm wondering, okay, what happened? Well, do I need to adjust to that, or are you going to be calling me? You know what I'm saying? So those, and then getting to the point where, okay, this is what you do. It's no love loss. It's no whatever. When you call. I got you. And the reason that's fine is because if when they do show up, they come full, right? Then that's a different thing. Then you made up for the time that you weren't there. But see, that's a situation, you know, a very situational thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you can't come empty after 6 weeks, bitch.
I'm weak about it.
It reminds me of the phrase that y'all use. You don't even have no credits if you're trying to make a withdrawal.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to build up these credits.
What's mm-hmm. your friendship credit score?
Is it 400?
Okay.
You know.
Mm-mm. I love that. What's your friendship credit score?
That's... If it's under 6, oof, we may need to do some things to help you improve your credit. Credit building.
But that's a real thing, though. I mean, I haven't had to articulate it like that. So thank you, Nick, for helping me to do that. But I think it's a real thing. It's like one of those unsaid things that we don't really... But we're experiencing it, mm-hmm. right? It's like, I need more from you. Mm-hmm. I need more from you because you're asking for a lot.
Yeah. So I have a friend, actually, who, like, I love dearly. And so we've had different seasons where we were very close. And now I still love him. It's no love lost. And... we don't connect very often. We may have a little period where we connect consistently for like a week, and then it just kind of goes for a few months. Mm-hmm. And I got upset with him because that was happening kind of at one point in our relationship, and I felt like, where are you? Like, you're not showing up for me as a friend. Mm-hmm. And he didn't communicate much with me, but kind of on the back end, I found out that he was experiencing like his own depression and was not really able to communicate or didn't know how to do that or didn't know how to show up. And I got to the point where I just kind of accepted him for where he was. Mm-hmm. And I accepted that, you know what, I love you. And when we talk is when we talk, when it's good, kind mm-hmm. of like you were talking about, Cal, but when it's good, when we are able to show up for each other, we will. Mm-hmm. But I took a lot of the expectations off of what that friendship needed to look like. Right. And just allowed it to be what it is organically. Mm-hmm. And that kind of freed me up to be different in that and friendship. Yeah. Yeah. And it works.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it works for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
us, I think.
Right. Yeah.
I had a text message from one of my friends in Dallas because I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I've been busy trying to. And his text message simply said, I ain't tripping. And I thought that was the nicest thing because right. I know that I left a lot of people behind when I moved here. Right. Mm, yeah. And some of those people are really still very important to me.
Absolutely.
And it's great, though, that for them to be having the understanding, OK, well, when I see you, I see you. Great. Let's keep this moving.
Right.
Absolutely. So, you know, and I think Akil probably asked that question. So what, I guess what does it look like when you have a healthy friendship love? I know for me, it's like it's support. It's definitely loyalty, as we spoke about. But it's just that common interest of not putting each other down and building each other up.
Mm-hmm. Respect.
Yeah. Respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say for me, it's similar to that, except for the loyalty thing. I don't expect people to have that. And not meaning loyalty is not an important thing. But I think that it's hard to define. And it's hard to hold people accountable to things.
What does that mean?
When they change as well. Like, they may go through things. I may go through things. And we may just not be on the same page. But that doesn't mean I love you any less. Just
true. That's loyalty.
In your definition, okay. Because I might do something that's completely against them. Like, I love you, but I got to go over here. Mm-hmm. Which I have done before, right? And the thing is that I'm at a point in my life where I feel like I'm in a position to actually care about myself more than I care about everyone else, right? And that does mean that some people are going to be left behind, and I am going to have to say goodbye to people because those are the people who actually needed me more than I needed them.
Mm. Wow. And so because they needed you more than you needed them, when they weren't able to pour into you, you were the one who was always pouring into them.
So I think, let me look at it a different way. The energy that I would have spent on them is now being spent on me. So
yes.
I no longer have it to give.
Right. Gotcha. I would imagine, this is my thought anyway, that the healthiest of relationships in general is when the people who are showing up for you, they come with gifts in the terms of what they give you. You leave the experience with them feeling uplifted and, oh, like, I'm glad I did that, you know, I'm glad I spent that time with them. I glad you walk away filled, you walked away feeling rewarded for being in the space. And that's a mutual experience, you know, all around.
Yeah, for me, that's kind of what I look for in friendship. Like, how am I feeling when I leave this space? And relationships that feel like most deeply like nurturing and nourishing for me, those are the relationships where I'm investing my time and my energy.
Because life in general is stressful enough, right? Yes. Wherever you're in your workspace, you give in to that, and it takes, even if you don't have it to give, it takes. So at least the people that you want to choose to be friends, right? That's at least one place where you want to go to be filled. You know, you want to go to be uplifted by that community. That should serve you in that way. You shouldn't be drained.
I agree, and I think that's the difference between friends and associates.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Associates is maybe more superficial, like it's less of an investment.
You don't expect too much.
Absolutely, but yeah. Friendships, for me to use that term specifically, that is an investment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's an investment.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. How are your investments looking? We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey guys, I'm Joseph, a member of the board, which is what Akil refers to as his community of friends and supporters.
We all have something valuable to give, and sometimes it's as simple as giving someone else a reason to live.
On behalf of all the board members, I want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Akil's success is our success, and we want you to be a part of the community we are building.
It's not enough. It's not enough.
Because you are the very foundation we must build it on.
It's not enough to tell people that they matter. We have to show them. Like my friends showed me.
So tell a friend, leave a review, and keep in touch. We want to hear from you because it all matters. Just as you do.
Talked about a little earlier about the trauma bonding, the shared trauma being kind of where the connection lies. And so once your trauma heals, or you are working through and have done work to heal particular wounds, then the friendship comes to a close and people are upset. Your friend is upset, but that's not being in support of your healing either. Right. And what would happen if you were to work on your stuff and you were to heal that wound that enabled us to be in relationship together? And so then is your commitment or my commitment more to my own healing and my own process, or is it to staying wounded to be in a relationship?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that makes me think of when you remove the thing that the relationship was there to serve, sitting in the void is painful, because all of these things are hitting you now, because whatever the friendship was feeling is no longer there. So have you experienced the sitting in the void part? I think I spoke with you specifically about that, Aaron. When that person is now no longer able to, or you're realizing that they're no longer able to hold that space in the friendship, and you got to say, okay, well, you know, there's some distance that needs to happen there. Now the void is there. What does that feel like? What comes up for you in that space? And, you know, I know it's not something that people do.
Well, you said it, though. You said a void there that a person was filling. That means if they're filling a void, there was an emptiness or a deficit.
Yes.
That's not what a healthy relationship is. I'm showing up. Preach. Not. Iyanla says it this way, since we love the quote, Mama Iyanla.
Right.
What's in the cup is for me.
Oops.
What's the overflow is for everybody else. But if my cup is not full and I'm expecting you to fill my cup up, and I'm not taking ownership and responsibility for maintaining the fullness of my own cup.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So now there's a void because you were meeting some sort of deficit or something. It's not fair for me to make somebody else responsible for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's toxic from the jump.
From the jump. But you know, a lot of people go into things like that though, and they don't even see that it's a problem if you're coming and saying, "Oh, just make me feel better. Mm-hmm. Oh, make me do this. Make me, you know." And
I'm so good friends with him because he makes me feel so much better than I would otherwise.
Right, yeah. entertain me.
Or, I'm so good friends with this person because they make me look better. Mm-hmm. I gain something by being friends with them.
Or there's a certain level of status.
Yeah.
Or they invite me to be in a particular group, a particular echelon, like to maintain a particular image of what I've defined as successful. And this fits the picture or the image that I've defined, but it's actually just superficial. Mm-hmm. There's no depth to it.
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how many of us do that? And then we look in our relationships and wonder why we feel unfulfilled.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So can I bring up something else that I think would be a good extra reading? That's actually a play in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Boys in the Band. I know a lot of people have heard of it.
Are you talking about
reading?
Play, right.
Right. Died a few days ago.
So are you talking about reading?
Oh. Oh, no. This is actually a play. So you don't have to read it. You can watch it.
But Excuse me.
It talks about a group of four friends and their fallout, basically. Uh-huh. And it was all over a birthday party one night. Uh-huh. And a lot of the topics that we just talked about you know, having your cup full and the whatever that word is.
Toxicity.
About having those people around you to feel it instead of you doing it yourself is like it's a very hard premise of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people should take a look at that. And it is, in a way, some of the characters are very self-loathing,
mm-hmm.
but they are showing what we're saying right now is that from the get-go, mm-hmm. these friendships were not right.
Right.
And the basis for the way you built these friendships,
mm-hmm.
the group of four friends was not right. Mm-hmm. Right. And that evening exposed it. Right.
Mm.
And it's a good thing. I mean, it's very good. I watched it when I was younger. I actually watched both the play and the movie, and I would recommend it if you really are interested in seeing friendships go bad. Take a look at that, and then maybe think about how you can do something differently.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking, like, you know, with that, an analogy is if you set up, you start friendships or whatever a relationship on the wrong premise, on the wrong ideology, there is going to be a situation somewhere down the line that will expose it for what and everything that it is.
Yes, sir.
And everything it ain't.
Everything it isn't. And that could be I could see that being a very potentially destructive and catastrophic situation emotionally for the people involved. And that's something that is, you know, that's, yeah. it could be really bad.
Yeah.
It could be really bad.
I think that when you are feeling a void for a friendship or attracting someone to fill a void, I think it limits the relationship that you have. I think it puts a ceiling as to how high that it actually can grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that quote from Queen and Slim.
Mm-hmm.
What does this say about... even though it's a relationship, but I think it applies to friendships. What did she say about me being able to do my own work about my own scar? I don't remember how she phrased it.
Yeah.
Somebody remember that?
Needing.
Calvin, because you remember everything from every quote.
I don't remember.
Oh, what? I think it was something along the lines of basically supporting me and figuring out what, you know, doing my work, doing my healing, something along that lines, and not trying to fix it.
Yes.
Yes. But letting me.
I don't need you to fix me.
Yes. I don't need you to fix me.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't need you to fix me. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but all of these things are things to explore, and I'm sure people are examining the basis of a lot of their friendships, healthy or toxic or whatever, somewhere in between, and trying to work that thing out because, you know, it's... At the end of the day, I think it's, if nothing else, a mirror to how did you get yourself in this space, whether it's healthy or toxic. It's a mirror either way in terms of where you are. And since, as I said, from the get-go, from the jump, that your friendships are an extension of the relationship that you're having with yourself, and they will only be as healthy as that is, you know. And so if you are continuing to grow and continuing to evolve, then those relationships can either go with you if they can, or go the way of the lifeless river if they can't. Just have the courage to know that there is life on the other side of letting go. I'm Akil Johnson, the poet god. Thank you for listening.